Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to Marriage on Fire with Truly Wed Wives. This evening, we have a spectacular coach that's going to teach us how to infidelity-proof our marriage, Coach Danae Macklin. I'm so sorry. This day and time, infidelity is running rampant in marriages, in the body and outside of the body. So we wanted to address some issues in regards to infidelity. Coach Danae Macklin, she has a book. She has a class that she does, and we're getting ready to bring her in. She's on the line and she's holding. Again, welcome, everyone. My name is Deidre. I'll be co-host this evening for Truly Wed Wives. Truly Wed Wives is a romance concierge, women's ministry for wives. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in Coach Danae Macklin. Danae.
Hi, Deidre. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate the invitation because I know you don't take it lightly to bring any, or I should say, just anyone on the call. So thank you so much for having me on the call with the lovely wives tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for being here. We truly appreciate you sacrificing your time and all that you do for marriages and all that you instill in wives. So we just thank you for everything that you have done, everything you're going to do. So,
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So before we get started, let me bring my co-host in, Jocelyn. Jocelyn?
Yes. Hello? Hello?
Hi, Danae. Danae, that's Jocelyn. She's going to be co-host. Jocelyn, you want to open up in prayer?
Sure. Hello, Danae.
Hi, Jocelyn. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. So I'm just going to have a word of prayer. Father God, we just come before you tonight to say thank you, God. Thank you for allowing us to touch marriages, God, in a positive way, God. Thank you for your direction, God. And thank you for just allowing this opportunity for us to host an event tonight so that we can bless marriages and let people know that marriages are honorable and that you have just determined that we are to lift our marriages up and that we're going to use Danae tonight, God, to just bless marriages and to just give us a positive direction, God. So we just thank you for all that you do, God, and we thank you for Danae tonight, God, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Danae, we're just going to let you jump right into it. Jocelyn is going to, you know, give feedback, and then, you know, I'll be here as well. So we're going to let you do what you do and talk about your situation because we are excited to hear it.
Sure, no problem. Yes, well, first of all, you know, you see people's, you know, glory, but you don't know their story there. So me and my husband, Chris, we have actually been there and done that there. You know, God truly turned a test into a testimonial and allowed for us to be able to take our mess, turn it into a message for the masses, which being you all on the call tonight, and thank you for being here. I'll let you know I'm very transparent. What you see is what you get. So, you know, I pray that you'll be able to take various golden nuggets there. But our backstory is during our engagement, I was the one that actually cheated first. And do understand that, because one of the questions that comes up typically on calls like this is, you know, do you believe it was retaliation? Absolutely not. There is not a vindictive spirit in which my husband has. So I cheated first during the engagement, and then I actually told him and came clean there versus fast forward approximately, I think that was about 8 years. So when he cheated, it was during our marriage. It was 1 month shy of our one-year wedding anniversary, and he did not tell me. I actually found out via a text message that I had found in his car, and it's funny because we always hear the saying, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and what's done in the dark will eventually come to light. And so I had a situation where, at the time, the corporation I was working with, I had to load up various materials for clients. So he had happened to leave his car in the driveway, so I had to pull his car into the garage. And as I was getting out of his car, you know, I noticed something that was kind of sticking me in the side, being his cell phone. So obviously, unbeknownst to him, his cell phone had fallen out of his pocket. I listened to my instinct, which I have a chapter in my book called Trust Your Truth. So one of the messages, if I don't convey anything else tonight, is that trusting your instinct. That's really trusting your higher power, being God. And something in that truth told me to open it up and read the text message. And the text message read, last night was well worth it. And, you know,
wow.
With keeping it brief, yeah, I know, I'll never forget that text message, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yes. The interesting thing about that, ladies, is, again, trusting your truth is so important. One, let me give you a statistic real quick. 80% of women who typically think or feel or that instinct, that intuition is kicking in, 80% of women are right in those cases. And just the night before, how God operated in me was I knew that he was cheating. Now, my husband is one that you would vote least likely to cheat. If it was kind of a category in high school back in the day, most likely to succeed, Chris is very much that one you would vote least likely to have an affair. So I'm up here thinking, I'm like, you know, that's probably just the devil trying to get in the details. So one lesson up front is to not put your husband on that pedestal. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't respect them, you don't love them, you don't admire them, but again, you're reserving that pedestal for the love of God there, because we are all, you know, sinners at the end of the day and capable of making mistakes in the case of my husband there. So I'm going to pause for just a moment and ask, you know, if you want me to shift gears, go into a little bit more about our story or transition into, you know, some of the strategies, or if there's any questions that you want to ask of me.
No, want to hear the story.
Yeah, we like to hear your story and how God used your situation, yes.
Okay, sure, no problem. I just want to be mindful to check in because I'm a sister, I can roll with it there. So going back to our story was, you know, that night, and it was, here's the thing, ladies, and wives, most of all, on the call there. Most times you know when your husband or, you know, if the significant other has cheated is because they typically break tradition. They break routine. And that's exactly what my husband had done. He would call me religiously when he got off work to talk to me, tell me about his day, or just talk to me on this ride home. And all of a sudden, I hadn't heard from him, and I had a feeling. And then I called him, and I kept getting his voicemail. So at first, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt because at the time, he was apprehending internal theft that went on in retail stores. So I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe he apprehended. So just how we are as women, all right, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then when I kept calling and getting his voicemail and hours had gone by and he had not called me, I knew everything in my gut told me that he was cheating. So it was really interesting that next day when I found that cell phone that said last night was well worth it. So then I took it, you know, into the bathroom, took the cell phone into the bathroom, and I went through the text messages. I wanted to understand the call history because I wanted to be smart about things and get an idea for myself maybe how long had this been going on, the frequency, and just, you know, no longer be in the dark about it. So, you know, I'll be very honest with you all. Like I said, I'm very transparent. I was upset. and I acted on emotion at the time, and if I could go back and do things differently, I would not have called her first, but I'll be honest, at that moment I had truly operated in the flesh, and I called her from his cell phone, and she thought, of course, that it was him, so, you know, she answered in that sexy little cute voice, right? And I was like, oh, no. I said, this is his wife. Okay?
Whoa.
And so, of course, I had at that point, you know, threatened her. She hung up on me, and rightfully so, because I would have hung up on me too. But then I came to my senses, and I, at a later date, called her back, and I said, woman to woman, let's talk, you know. And so, you know, getting to the important parts of it, when I went to go leave, because, of course, I was very upset, and I wanted to leave the house. And when I left the house, though, I was smart about where I was going. And the message in this is, as we know, you can't share your business with everybody. So when I left the house, I was very strategic in knowing that, okay, I'm going to go to a couple being very good friends of both of ours because I knew that they had gone through this. So I knew that they would be able to understand, maybe provide some comfort, some advice, and they were able to do so. And then here's the other thing that's very important, and really listening to your higher power, your spirituality, and ultimately God, because as I sat over there, you know, first the devil was telling me, you know what, don't go home, leave him, which the other part of the why I'm doing this is really to save marriages that are worth, the emphasis is on worth, saving. I'm not talking about the repeat offenders yet, which we'll get to in a few minutes there, but clearly as I sat there, I had no intention of going home. But God told me 2 hours later, clear as if he whispered in my ear and was like, go home. And I'm like, go home? What you mean, go home? I ain't trying to go home. But I listened. I obeyed, and I'm glad that I did, because when I walked in the door, my husband was so remorseful and actually in tears, he didn't even hear me walk through the door. And I can remember just as clearly today as if it was yesterday, him sitting on the edge of the bed, just with his head down, his eyes were pretty much bloodshot from crying. So I understood that he was very remorseful. And, you know, he dropped to his knees and he apologized profusely. And we sat up that entire night till the next morning talking, because I needed to get an understanding of how and why this took place and being able to get the full disclosure, which is what I talk about when you're dealing with the recovery aspect of this. There's different steps and things you need to go through. So it wasn't an overnight process. Me and my husband, we recommitted to our marriage, and we began to go to counseling, and we went to counseling individually as well as together for weeks on end. And then we began to, you know, experience the evolution of our marriage, what I call love after adultery, and then we eventually could stop going to counseling. And I promise you, ladies, on this call, our marriage is so much better today than what it ever was before. And as crazy as it sounds, I do believe everything is for a reason, and I thank God for this happening, because it opened both of our eyes, to be able to know what to look for, what to do differently, so we could do just what we're talking about tonight, be able to infidelity-proof our marriage, and most of all now being able to show other marriages how to infidelity-proof their marriages. But if you do go through this, most of all, knowing that if you work, you know, you too can have that love after adultery, and it does not have to mean the end of your marriage, because especially in, you know, most of our communities, I know in particular for me, it was, if that, you know, what cheats on you, you leave him. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. You leave him. Or you really turn a blind eye and act like you don't know what's going on, and both of those are very problematic. Really epidemics, I'll say, running through our societies, because you can have a good man, just as I did, who cheats. And let me just say, no, I don't condone cheating. I normally say that out the gate, but I do understand how it can happen if you're not careful, because with my husband, how it happened for him and to us is we were both naive. We both put ourselves into very vulnerable situations that we had no business in. When I cheated on my, at the time he was my fiance, when I cheated on him during our engagement, I did not go out seeking to cheat on him, nor did he in our marriage. But I call myself being a friend, going to pick up a gentleman, you know, in really harsh weather conditions with the intention of just dropping him off, nothing more, nothing less. And then, unfortunately, I ended up going inside, one thing led to another, and I had sex with this gentleman. And then for my husband, what happened with him was it started out as more of an emotional affair. And that emotional affair occurred because at the time I was in corporate America, I was very caught up in my career and not making my marriage the priority it should have been. So I allowed what I call in my book windows and walls. I allowed the window to be open for another woman to come in and fulfill a void, and that was building up a wall between us in our marriage there. So we both had no intention. So I say that. Say this to say, in infidelity proofing your marriage, you can have a good marriage, and if you're not careful and know what to look for, this too can happen to you if you're not careful. So I'll pause there for a moment.
Wow.
So, Danae, I have a question. I wanted to know, how long did it take you guys, the recovery time, how long did that take? Because I know it's different for a different situation. So I just want to kind of see how long did it take you guys to go through the process to get back to the new normal, if you will.
And you know what? Thank you very much for that question. That is definitely a common question. One of the things I like to say, you know, first before I answer that is, when you go through this, you really don't want to get back to what you had. There's a reason why this kind of was able to happen, so it's, like you said, the new norm there. And for me and Chris, it took us, before we could really begin to, you know, before I could trust him, and I'll speak more so to the marriage side of things here, before I could get back to a place of trusting him completely, it probably was, honestly, a good year, a full year for me to be able to trust him 100%. And one of the things I talk about in the book is, of course, the how to be able to do that. You know, for the listeners, you should know the average length of an affair is 2 years. That's the average length of an affair, 2 years. Now, of course, some happen longer. In my particular case, it was not as long. It was more over the course of a couple months, 2 or 3 months, that it actually had gone on. So it was short-lived. So for me, I think from what I have seen, and this is not an absolute, ladies, though, but typically the length that it takes to forgive can sometimes correlate to the length of, you know, how long the affair, you know, took. And then also for women, there's all different types of affairs, but the predominant ones that we know of and we talk about are the emotional affairs and the sexual affairs. And for women, emotional affairs can be way more disruptive because as women, we want to know we have, you know, we're the priority. We have our husband's heart. That, you know, that is, you know, how we're connected to them. So sometimes with women, you know, it's a lot more difficult to forgive, you know, emotional affairs, you know, versus the sexual affairs. Not to say that that's not, you know, for every case, but for men, the sexual affairs are harder to forgive because, you know, men more so have that connection sexually. So they connect more with women, their wives, sexually than sometimes they do emotionally. Now, it doesn't mean they don't connect emotionally too, but, you know, understanding kind of the how we operate and the dynamics between the men and women. So after 6 months, going back to your question, after about the 6-month mark, I noticed the decrease in me questioning him where he was going, or questioning, you know, if he said he was going somewhere, or the desire to want to check his cell phone. Because that's another thing, is you all are going to, when we're talking about the recovery process, it's all about that forward progression. It doesn't mean you won't have relapses, but you have to be able to train your mind and have that mindset mastery that I talk about in the book, to be able to combat those thoughts of constantly checking his phone. Because the more you do that, you're only causing your marriage to either remain stagnant in that situation, or you're taking 20 steps forward where you can really begin to take 20 steps forward.
I have a question. This is Jocelyn. My question is, what made you, it's a twofold, what made you tell your fiancé that you cheated on him, and do you think he was able to totally forgive you after you told him that?
Great question. So during the time in which Chris and I were in our engagement period, I decided to be honest with him because I have a philosophy. And it goes like this. If I was not honest with him, then I am making a decision for him. By me not being honest, I wasn't allowing him to be in control of the situation and make a very important decision for himself. So if I would have kept that information from him, then I would not have been able to empower him to make the decision for himself. Ultimately, I would have been selfish. And I would have been making that decision for him, and I didn't feel that that was the fair thing or the right thing to do in the situation. I felt as though he deserved the truth from me and that I owed him that much for him to be able to make the decision for himself. And what's interesting about this is after I told him, I told my oldest sister this, and she's very old school, and she said to me, I'll never forget this, you just gave him a get-out-of-jail-free card. So I said, I said, what do you mean, get-out-of-jail-free card? You know, for him to turn around and do the same thing. She just thought, like, oh, okay, I never thought about it that way, but let me go back to him and ask him that question. And he was like, absolutely not. In that moment, he was truthful and said to me, I would never hurt you the way you had just hurt me, and with all of my heart, I believed him, and still to this day, I believed him. So I know that, you know, it wasn't where he had retaliated and did this intentionally during our marriage. The other part of the question you just asked, when I asked him about that get-out-of-jail-free card, I asked him, I said, we don't know what the future holds, and that's why I say never. If this happens, where you are to ever cheat on me, would you tell me, or can you promise me that you would tell me? And at that moment, he promised me. And I believe he had every good intention. So I was even more hurt when I found out, instead of him being honest with me, the way in which I was honest with him and telling me, because that is one of the things in rebuilding trust after the recovery process, is confessing voluntarily. That is so important, that if you do cheat, did you confess voluntarily? Because now it doesn't look like you're trying to cover up things. You're not, you know, habitually lying. You're not in denial about these things there, that you are honest with that person to give them the respect they deserve to make their own decisions.
Right. That makes sense. So could you tell us some of the traps that women or couples fall into that cause them to cheat in their marriages?
Yes, absolutely. So those are we'll transition now into the steps that I talk about in how to infidelity proof your marriage. And unfortunately, you know, for time's sake, I can't give all of them or as much information as I could that is in the book, but I'm going to do a good job in trying to highlight the key ones here. So number one.
Right, but you want to keep some secret so we can buy the book. You know,
absolutely.
I mean,
I can't give everything there. So, and I definitely encourage you all to, of course, get the book. The good thing is that the book, I'll say this real quick and then I'll give the tips. The book is really twofold in the sense that just as much as it talks about the recovery process, you know, rebuilding trust, being able to forgive, it is also about being proactive and how to avoid this there. So it serves both being proactive up front and then also the recovery process of being reactive. So the tips tonight for infidelity-proofing your marriage is, one, you want to prioritize, I call it prioritizing the priority. So what that means is, number one, prioritizing your marriage. And that is where I went wrong. That's why it's number one, prioritizing your marriage. When I was in corporate America, I, you know, was going for that American dream, working real hard, making a name for myself, making good money. And now, here's the kicker, ladies. In my heart, my husband was number one and has always been number one. But my question to you tonight, does your actions reflect what is in your heart? So in that number one, prioritizing your marriage, what does that really realistic look like in your life under your roof right now? Are you allowing other commitments to come before your marriage? You know, it could look like, you know, if you're active in your church here. And now let me give the disclaimer. There is nothing wrong with volunteering and, of course, you know, working within the kingdom of God, because we are a servant and meant to be servants and give back unto the kingdom. At the same time, you have to be able to balance that as much as possible so that you're still putting your marriage ahead of all of the other obligations. Because as we know, in this day and time, and especially as women, we are pulled so many different directions. You know, not only are we wives, we're mothers, we're entrepreneurs, we're employers, you know, we're still, you know, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts. You know, we have all these roles that we play. But tonight I challenge you to make your marriage the priority that it's meant to be, and that also you sit down with your husband, because the priority to you might look different to your husband. So you have to, you know, also have these check-ins with one another to say, you know, honey, and don't be afraid. Well, first let me say this. Try not to ask a question you're not ready for the answer to, but prepare yourself in the sense of, ask your husband, honey, do you feel as though I'm making you a priority? Do you feel as though I'm making our marriage a priority? And if they say no, be prepared for that answer, and don't get defensive, women, okay, because initially we're like, what you mean? You know, listen to them with an open heart, an open mind, an open spirit, and most of all, an open, active ear. Let them talk and hear what they have to say, because those are going to be the keys that are going to save your marriage from going down the path of infidelity. Really listen to your husband. So that's number one. Number two is avoid temptation. And what I mean by that, avoid temptation, sometimes we try to, you know, talk ourselves into, oh, I'm strong enough to go out with this handsome-looking coworker of mine. You know, nothing's going to happen. You know, I can restrain myself and all of those things. But then you go out to lunch with that coworker, and you're putting yourself in temptation's way at that particular point there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So number two is avoid temptation. If it comes down to, it's really insulating and being able to protect your marriage against typically what starts out as the emotional affair, because we normally think, oh, talking to them is not a problem, but before you know it, it goes back to what I talk about in my book with the windows and walls. The next thing you know, you open the window, and, you know, he might be complimenting you, because that was another thing that I'll transition into step three in a minute, is I didn't know my vulnerabilities, and I didn't realize how much that at the time my fiancé, which now my husband, wasn't complimenting me. So this new brother was giving me all these wonderful compliments, and I was just sucking them up. And before you knew it, I left the window open to the emotional affair that ended up transitioning into the sexual affair. So you really want to attempt to infidelity-proof your marriage and avoiding temptation and going out with those, you know, coworkers or, you know, any other situations that you feel in your spirit, you know what, that kind of begins to, you know, question. It's kind of like the analogy I give when you're not sure of what to wear, ladies. When in doubt, don't wear it out. So if that's the case there, if there's any doubt, then, you know, don't go out with that individual or, you know, don't talk to that individual. Here's how you can judge something. If you can't tell your husband about this person or what's going on, then that's a good benchmarker that that's something that you shouldn't, you know, be participating in. So that's number two, avoiding temptation. Number three, know your vulnerabilities. A moment ago, I just talked about how at the time when I got involved with this other gentleman, he was very into complimenting me. You know, you're ambitious, you're attractive, you're smart, all of these things. And I didn't realize at the time how I was just absorbing and eating those things up. So I had a vulnerability that I would kind of say I had a deficit. And when it came to compliments, or I really thrive on compliments. So what's your vulnerability? Is it the same thing where it's like, you know, you eat up compliments there, or, you know, you're looking for some validation, but really understanding what areas you are potentially vulnerable to so you can begin to identify and create that awareness up front. So that way when things begin to happen, you're able to instantly identify it and combat it. So if someone gives you that compliment, it's okay that they give it to you, but you know as far as to walk away. So really understanding what is it that are your triggers or vulnerabilities potentially to being into an emotional affair. And like I said, the book goes into a lot of more detail about knowing your vulnerabilities. Number four. It's crystal clear communication. Again, I call it the three C's, crystal clear communication. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't stress this one enough, ladies, because if we have a tendency that we say, well, he should know how I feel, or he should know what I'm thinking, or he should know how I'm going to react, I'm going to tell you that that is so unfair, and stop shooting all over yourself. No more room for should, S-H-O-U-L-D-S there. But instead, you know, you want to talk about it from a standpoint of not being judgmental. Because too often than not, what happens in marriages is we don't talk to each other in fear that our spouse is going to judge us. But today, going forward, my challenge to you is stop being embarrassed to talk to your spouse, because I promise you, if you don't talk to him about these things, you know, you cannot conquer what you're not willing to confront. You have to be able to confront these feelings and talk through them together so that you can resolve them together, and then that's what keeps that window closed for people to creep into your marriage, and that's what, you know, keeps that wall down. So there's never a wall building up between the two of you because you're always in constant communication with one another. Number five is rekindle romance. Date your mate. It might not be a date night. It might be a date day. For me and my husband works in the evening. So we have date days during the morning. You know, we'll catch a matinee. We might have lunch. You know, in the summer, you know, we might go to the beach. Whatever it is, date your mate. Rekindle that romance. You know, I'll give you another resource here. It's called, and this is for my married women on the line, just in case we've got some singles, it's called The Erotic Cookie Jar. And my very good friend and colleague, the author of this book and the product, is Cynthia Fitch. And reach out to me, and I'll be happy to connect you. But I do believe, as far as the website, is Erotic Cookie Jar. This is a resource, and what it is, let me elaborate. It's where you and your husband, you open up this cookie jar, and it has little fortune cookies. Please. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All of a sudden I heard muted. Okay, just wanted to make sure. So in that, what you're doing is you and your spouse are doing different activities for one another, you know, to really bring the spark back into your relationship. So, you know, it might be a massage. Or if you don't order, because I'm not necessarily saying you got to order the erotic cookie jar, but the idea can still be the same. You can get a fishbowl, and you and him can write down different things that you want, you know, in the bedroom or out of the bedroom, whatever it is that you want. So when you're feeling like you want to, you know, bring the spark in that night or something, you both reach into the cookie jar and pull things out for one another. So that way you're keeping it fresh and you're getting what it is that you really want. So number five, again, is rekindle the romance and date your mate. Number six, a marriage team. What I mean by that is keep a marriage team. It's almost like a board of directors, but this is a board of directors for your marriage. So on your marriage team, who's on the marriage team? And now let me say this. Whoever is sitting on your board or your marriage team needs to have not only your best interest at heart, but needs to have your husband's best interest at heart or vice versa in order for it to work. So what that looks like is you don't want to wait till the stuff hits the fan. You want to have a counselor, a professional counselor that you and your husband trust together so that when things do start getting off kilter, you don't have to wait till he's had an affair to deal with, you know, the really hard stuff. But it's like, you know what, honey, we're a bit off. I'm not making progress communicating to you. You're not making progress communicating to me. So let's go, you know, to a therapist, a counselor that we have identified together. And keep in mind, ladies, that all counselors, and I'm just going to say it, are not created equal. So you want to interview that counselor, you and him, in advance to say, okay, what marital issues do you specialize in? What have you dealt with? What have you seen? You know, if we were going through this, how would you help us with this? Because it's important. A lot of times the reason counseling is not effective is because the woman has found the counselor and the husband hasn't, and he's not feeling that counselor. So it's important for you all to select who's going to be on your marriage team together. Another one is having, you know, an infidelity recovery coach such as myself. Because if you do go through this, you need someone that has really been there and done that and understands this situation, that also have tools to help you get through it and resources such as a book, a workbook, you know, different resources there. Because when you're, if you do have to go through counseling, you go through counseling maybe once a week. What are you going to do when you're out of counseling? So you need to have, you know, someone else as a professional to fill that void. The other part of your marriage team is having marriage mentors. You know, having a couple that has been married for, let's say, you know, 30-plus, you know, 40-plus years, where they have gone through some things, but they have stayed together, and they love both you and your husband. You also want to have, you know, resources like tonight. You know, as far as the, you know, truly wed wives there, you know, the anointed wives ministries of the world, but marriage ministries that are in support and providing ongoing resources like this very call tonight, because you have to reinvest in your marriage by learning topics tonight and then also going on those retreats together. So that's it for my six tips tonight on infidelity proofing your marriage.
That was awesome.
Okay. That
was
Amen.
Awesome. Yes. And,
yes,
you know, we often
yes.
hear people say that your test should become your testimony, and you and your husband are a shining example of that. So, you know, I just want to commend you. And I really would like to ask, how did your testimony become, how did you become so passionate about your testimony?
Well, thank you so much. I definitely appreciate it, and I'm glad that you brought that point up, because I want to let you all know on the call tonight, you know, I know who this message is for, but not to let shame, guilt, what society says, but, you know, really, you know, being prayerful and turning, you know, because people need to know they're not alone, you know, and people need
yeah.
to be able to look at real-life testimonies, you know, tests that you have gone through, you know, because there's so many, you know, couples out there who think they automatically have to resort to a divorce and their marriage is not going to work, you know, because the people they see around them, maybe their marriages are not working. So we have to become that light, and we have to become, you know, I have a mastermind group. Actually, I was doing a training right before this call with them called Courageous Conquerors. And that's what you have to become in this world, is a courageous conqueror to say, you know what, it's not about me. Let me put myself on the back burner, because this and nothing we go through, and this is indicative of your question that I'm about to answer, is I had to say to myself, And I'm a little bit more transparent than my husband, so it was a little easier for me to put it out there to the world because I've known all my life that it's not about me, that everything that I do is for the greater good of society to really be able to help people. Now, my husband, on the other hand, I had to kind of bring him along the ride a little bit to really help him and more so show him. Because at first it was, you know, I knew to answer your question now. After we were in the midst of this storm, and I was given an opportunity to write an article for a new magazine in a local area. And so the editor, the publisher had asked me, well, what do you want to write about? You know, we really want your insight. But what do you want to write about? And I'm like, I'm going through the middle of an affair right now and going through the storm, so all I can think about is this affair. So they said, okay, then write about the affair. So I'm like, okay, so at that moment years ago, the title, Love After Adultery, was born. That was the actual title of the article, Love After Adultery. And about fast forward a few weeks later, they launched the magazine at a really big gala, and everybody at this gala was given the magazine in a goodie bag, and my husband was brave enough, courageous enough to attend this a gala with me, but his thoughts were, everybody's going to be reading this, they're going to be looking at me, you know, what are they going to think? And I'm like, honey, it's not what they think. Nobody cares about what they think. It is about the couples that are going to be blessed by our story. So in answering your question, it's really we got to get outside of ourselves. We got to get beyond ourselves and know that whatever it is, it might not be infidelity or adultery. You know, whatever it is that you have gone through, typically I tell my clients I work with, your purpose, I wanted our marriage to be able to show the world that if we did it, we're no different. We're no better than you. You can do it too.
Wow, that's awesome.
Amen. 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 Danae, I agree, you know, with Jocelyn. I mean, you know, you have been so awesome. And the funny thing is that sometimes, you know, we all know that God has something for you, but you have to go through whatever it is that you have to go through so you can get what it is that he wants, and then you'll appreciate it. So saying that, I just wanted you to talk about how people can find out about the class and also about how they can purchase the book, because I know it's on Amazon, so can you just talk about that for a minute? I know we have like 17 minutes and 30 seconds left, so I wanted to get it in. There's a few people holding. I have questions, and I have questions that were emailed to me, so I wanted to talk about the book because people want the book.
Absolutely, absolutely. You all can go to, there's a couple of places that you can go to. One, please go to Amazon and read the reviews on Amazon. God is truly amazing. We have all 5-star reviews on the book. Everybody that reads this says that they can't put it down. They read it in a matter of 2 hours there. You can purchase the book off of Amazon. However, if you want it autographed, though, you will have to purchase it from my website. You can purchase it at 2 websites now, loveafteradultery.com. You can go to loveafteradultery.com, and please bookmark that because in a matter of 2 weeks, the official site, what you're going to see when you go to loveafteradultery.com is a landing page right now. So it's not the official website right now. In 2 weeks, it's going to be the phenomenal website with tons of resources. But you can go to Love After Adultery to purchase the book. Or you can go to my primary website, which I encourage you to do too, DanaeMacklin.com. That's D is in Delta, A, N is in November, A-Y, Macklin, M-A-C-K-L-I-N.com, and purchase the book. Also, so the listeners know, there is a workbook that you can pre-order. You can pre-order the workbook on the LoveAfterAdultery.com site. It will actually launch early July. So that way you and your husband, whoever, you know, that are recovering from this can go through this together. There's also the audio book that is out now, and that will be on iTunes. The book is also on Kindle, I want to say, for my online peeps on the phone. You can get it via Kindle on Amazon. And in respect to the teleclass, you know, again, I wish there was more time tonight to spend with you. But if you really want to go in detail and go through the hows, the whys, and hear the full story and all of the strategies that I'm going to pull out of the book, you can go to infidelityproof.eventbrite.com. Again, that's infidelityproof.eventbrite.com and sign up. Infidelity Proof Your Marriage teleclass. It's going to be on June 12th from 7 to 8:30. And for all of your special listeners tonight, you all receive a promo code to get 15% off of the teleclass. So enter the promo code TRULYWIVES, TRULYWIVES. Again, that's TRULYWIVES, promo code, 15% off, and that will be valid for the next 24 hours.
Amen. Amen. And then also, could you give them your Facebook page tonight? Because, you know, a lot of people, social media, you know, your Twitter handle, however people can reach out to you, because I know this right here is an awesome topic, and this is real. This is what we're dealing with. This is like one of the leading reasons why divorces take place, and this is why we're trying to put a dent into divorces. So could you let them know how they can reach you on social media?
Absolutely. Just so you know, the statistic, 57% of marriages get divorced because of infidelity and adultery. But to answer your question, yes, I am the same online as I am offline. So I say that to say I encourage you to not only go to my fan page, which is The Conquering Coach on Facebook. So, again, it is Facebook.com, The Conquering Coach is my fan page, but also feel free to connect with me personally, and my personal page is Speaker Danae Macklin on Facebook. Also, you can find me on Twitter. Twitter is Danae Macklin. You can even connect with me on LinkedIn if you choose to, but I absolutely love Facebook. That's where you're going to find me the majority of the time is on at Speaker Danae Macklin or on the Conquering Coach fan page.
Okay, excellent. So I just encourage everyone to get the book. I read excerpts from the book. I haven't actually read the book, but I am going to read the book, and I just challenge everyone else to read the book because it's talking about infidelity proofing your marriage. So maybe you have that perfect marriage. Maybe you already have that perfect marriage, but if you want to keep that perfect marriage, quote-unquote, this is some information that can show you how to do it. Danae's been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and she is proven, so she is able to give you the information that she's giving you. Now, Danae, we're going to go to the line. We have a few callers on hold.
Sure.
Is that all right? You ready to take calls?
Absolutely. I'm available for you, so I'll take as many calls as you want me to.
Okay, excellent. Okay, we have the first caller that's holding. Their last four digits of their telephone number is 4803 with the 312 exchange. Calling you live on the air with Coach Danae Macklin. Hello?
So you don't have to be shy. I won't bite you, I promise.
No. They just hung up. They just hung up. So we're going to go to email. Okay. I don't know if they got disconnected. I put them through. But, oh, here they are. They're back. Wait a minute. 1 second.
Okay.
Caller with the last four digits of 4803. You're back on the line if you want to speak with Coach Danae. Okay, we're going to take an email. We're going to go to the email. Okay, this first email says they want to know, okay, this is, Stephanie from Philadelphia, and her question is, she wants to know how long
have you and your husband been married? And how long were you married before he had his affair?
Okay, great question. So my husband and I, we have been together a total of 14 years. Actually, in June, it'll be 15 years that we've been together. And in June, it will be 8 years that we have been married in June, on June 30th. And the second half of the question was, I believe, how long we had been married or together before the affair took place?
Yes.
So, again, the affair took place 1 month shy of our one-year wedding anniversary. So at that point, that was back in 2006, and we had at that point been together for seven years.
Okay. Cool, I got that information. Okay, I have another email. And the email is asking, will you be coming to the Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware area anytime speaking?
Right now on the calendar, I'm not slotted to as of today, but that can very well change. So if there is an organization that you all want to recommend, you can send them to my website where they can book me as a speaker, so that I can come to whatever area that you're in. You know, half car will travel, planes, of course, typically, you know, carry me from state to state there. But, again, it's really about getting the message out there. So I really try to work with various, all organizations, to be able to bring me in to come and speak to, you know, even if it's small groups, medium groups, large groups. But as of today, I'm not slotted to be in that area. But what I will say to you is to go to DeneMacklin.com and sign up for my newsletter, because that has a section that comes out that tells you where I will be speaking at or what events I will be hosting, along with other events that are self-hosted, where those are the organizations that bring me in to speak to various groups there. So if you want me to come, go hit my website, let me know, and we can work it out.
Awesome.
Okay. Excellent. And then I have another email, and this states, let me see what she's saying. Okay, your husband, does your husband speak to men about infidelity?
Oh, my God, I love that question. Whoever asked that, thank you so much for asking that. And I'll ask you all to continue to pray for us. However, my husband has definitely come along for the ride now. So where it is warranted until he gets, you know, completely comfortable. But, yes, he has started talking to various men via the coaching calls that I have been conducting there. So, yes, he does talk to the men in the situation, because that is very powerful. You know, a lot of men do receive the information from me because I make them feel very, you know, non-threatened, very non-judgmental, very comfortable to be able to work with couples. But now we're actually teaming up to do this together, so that way men can hear directly from another man and receive the message even more so. So the answer is yes.
Okay, amen. And that one was from Donna from Delaware.
Thank you, Donna.
And I have one more question. This is from Elizabeth in New Jersey. She wants to know, how were you able to get through? I mean, I guess what she wants. How were you able to get through this situation in 1 year? Her husband committed adultery in 4 years, and she's still struggling through it.
Okay, maybe so that's Elizabeth?
Yes, from New Jersey.
And I swear everything happens for a reason, because I was just about to ask you if I could share some of those tips around rebuilding trust and forgiveness. So, Elizabeth, thank you for asking the question. The answer to that, again, you know, I really wish I could give you more tonight, but I'm going to give you these as quick as I can. And, again, I encourage you, Elizabeth, and any other, you know, women on the call, that if you have gone through this and you're stuck in trying to recover, the book, I promise you, will be a blessing. So to answer the question, for me, how I was able to get through this was, one, it takes three in a marriage. It was me, my husband, and God, and it took a lot of, I spent every waking moment in church that I could, not just on Sundays, Wednesday nights, and any other marital resources that they have, but here's some of the steps that I give in the book. I'll give you the steps, but the book goes into more detail. One is to really let go and let God, and trusting and having faith that God is going to work it out for your marriage. Number two is pray, and that's praying daily, you know, and also getting on prayer calls and having a prayer partner, for someone that can pray for you when you're at your weakest point, to, you know, reinforce the power of prayer. Another resource that helped me was The Power of a Praying Wife. That book really helped me a lot. I love The Power of a Praying Wife, and if that is not on your bookshelf, make it a resource. Another thing with The Power of a Praying Wife, she has these little prayer cards. So what I would do is I would put up, it's very important that you have visual reminders when you're going through this of what you're working towards. And she has these little prayer cards, and so I would sit them up on my mirror to help me pray when I did not feel like praying. And then also to put them out for my husband so he was reminded, you know what, we have to pray this thing through together. Number three is release anger, and that's why counseling is so important, and groups for anger management there. But you have to release the anger. And it's one thing to say it. I realize that and recognize. It's another thing to do it, and it talks more in detail of how to do it in the book. But you have to really be able to, this will transition into number four, forgive each and every individual hurt or offense. So it's not enough to say, okay, I forgive you for infidelity, but okay, I forgive you for having this emotional affair because I was unavailable. Give you for going to her house. I forgive you for all those individual things there, because you have to be able to forgive each offense instead of trying to do it all at one time with just one situation. Number five is forgive yourself for any role you may have played in contributing to the affair. There's a chapter in my book called The Blame Game, and too often we want to make it, in most cases, all about the man, that he's no good, this and the other. But ladies, I have to tell you, I had to take a real hard look in the mirror at myself and know I didn't want to own up to the fact that I wasn't a great wife and I wasn't there for my husband. But the truth of the matter is, I was not there for my husband. My husband would ask me, you know, Danae, cut off the cell phone, put down the laptop, can we watch this movie uninterrupted there, can you come home, you know, early from work. And now I'm saying, sometimes you might not be able to do that, ladies, and I get that, but it goes back to the first tip I gave you, and that's prioritizing your marriage. And then in the book I talk about rebuilding trust. One of the things is, you know, how I was able to forgive was the ending of the affair. Excuse me. One is to end the affair, and you want to do it where your partner is able to observe you ending the affair. So they are standing there when you make that call, or if it's via email, they're reading the email. You know, another thing is it becomes where you have to turn to each other, not away from each other. Don't harp on all the wrong. And don't bring up the past. That's one of the biggest things. I will just leave you with this last tip and this answer to the question is the past is the past. If you all keep bringing up the past, your relationship, your marriage will never be able to move forward. So through counseling and, you know, if you want to coach with me, that's another thing on my website. I offer a complimentary discovery session you can sign up for, and we can talk about this. But you have to deal with that through full disclosure, where you sit down at one time and try to get all your questions answered and understand why the affair happened. And sometimes a few new questions may come up, but you never want to throw it up in their face. and you want to, you know, work on leaving it in the past so that you all can heal your marriage and have that love after adultery.
Okay. Well, that is so excellent. I'm just praying that everyone got what they needed. We have about 32 seconds left. I just want to thank our co-host, Jocelyn Thorpe, for her excellent questions. And Denise, of course, we thank you, and you're welcome back anytime to help us put a dent into divorce, because the enemy wants all of our marriages, and we just thank you for everything. And we have 10 seconds left. If you want to say anything within those 8 seconds now.
I just want to connect with all the wives and women on the call there. There's so many other challenges, so please go to Facebook, connect with me, go to my website, get the newsletter, especially on DeneeMacklin.com. That's going to give you a Dear Denee section where you can ask me questions on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
So thank you so much for having me, ladies. I appreciate it, and I will continue to, of course, pray for marriages and everyone. So thank you so much for being the resource that you are and all the work that you all do for the sake and sacrifice of the marriages. So thank you.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, ladies, have a good night.
Good
you
night.
You too.
Thank
good
you.
Night, ladies. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Five months left. 3 months left. 5 months left.